Chaf Menachem, aber wir haben ziemlich kurzzeitig war der Lacha Chaf und we're going to all see kurzzeitig sein der Lacha Vav. We're discussing a place where there's certain specific governmental laws, and this actually was the practice. Very interesting, the practice in Europe in the 1800s and the 1900s that they were concerned maybe someone isn't really dead. So they would keep him for 28 hours or 48 hours before they would release the dead to be buried. So in such places, it says, the Kitzur says, where they can't, there's a law that you, but the one cannot bury the mace until 48 hours. So nevertheless, that doesn't exempt, like we learned earlier, a person from being an oinon. And the reason that is because after that 48 amount of time, 48 hours, he's for sure going to be involved in burying the mace. And so therefore, in the meantime, there's an obligation to be misasik bekoide, which means to be dealing with his honor and preparing the shrouds, the aron, who's going to come, etc., maybe even the speeches. However, Bani Yom Tov Sheni, there's more room to be lenient, to exempt him from the laws of Aninus in this special situation where they can't bury him based on the command of the kingdom. So this already we understand, especially on Moshe Elza today, we don't even do anyway burial. Usually, like I said, there are those that still do burial on Yom Tov Sheni. But at least since our opinion is that anyway, we don't do a burial on Yom Tov Sheni. So that's why the laws of Aninus won't apply in this specific case. Now, in these places that are mentioned, like we just mentioned, this custom, so because of this concern that they're not going to end up finding people to do the tahara for the mace, right, within, especially when the government is holding onto the body, and after 48 hours, unfortunately, the body has a very bad smell. So people are not going to be willing to do the tahara. So what did they do? The custom became to do tahara right after the death, put the body in the oven, in the coffin, complete and basically make a hole, meaning a complete coffin, make a hole in the bottom. And then this way, by putting the mace, the body of the nifter in the oven, so they're exempt from the laws of aninus. And at that point, the laws of avelus kick in. So this was like almost like a B'dievet situation where they wanted to give it the status that it's already considered like it's being buried, it's connected to the ground, and therefore the laws of Aninus don't apply anymore. However, Kitzur says still when it comes to counting the 7 days, 7 days only begin from the time that what's called Stimas HaGoyla Bekeva, which means, Machlek is what the Goyla means, Rashi and Tesis. Pashim Shat means that the at least that they fill in the entire the earth as what's called the Tzuras HaKever, and then already starts the laws of the Shiva counting of the 7 days. Someone has a mace and he doesn't know about it. If there's no one else to take care of the mace, they have to tell him. Right? We learned earlier that not necessarily should you tell a person, but in a situation where no one else is going to take care of him, you should definitely tell him. But if there's someone else that can take care of him, so then halacha is don't tell him until after davening. So again, of course, if it's a relative, you're going to tell them, unless we said if the person's ill. But if a person is not ill, however, you know that if you're going to tell him, now we're not going to be able to daven. So then halacha is better not tell him until after this month, after he daven. So this way, at least he's zeicha in davening. Someone whose wife was a relative of the one's wife was niftar, the husband. So she doesn't know about it. So technically speaking, they could have married relations. Nevertheless, it's proper for the husband to be machmir and not have relations with her. Siman Kuf Tzadik Zayin, we're learning now about the tachichim. These are the special purification process that takes care. This is called the tahara. And it's very special shrouds, clothing, white clothing. And the Kitzur explains that this idea is really all an expression of belief in Tchias HaMeisim. Why? Because of Chiyah Yosef said, righteous people are going to get up with their clothing. Nevertheless, so if it's the clothing that we're going to get up with, it should not be too chashuv. This is A, because of haughtiness, B, also because of baltashchis, and that's another reason also not to embarrass everyone else. So this way, it was a standard white shroud that usually a person is buried. Also, the tachichim should not be made with any knots or hem. And this is true when it comes to the threads that are being that they're threading with, that they're sewing with, and whether it's the clothing. I didn't see a reason for it. It could be maybe it's like the Kohen Gadol. could be that you're not taking anything with you, so they're like in a credit card, they don't have any pockets. Or I also saw, it's interesting that it's very similar this way. Probably the custom also where a chasan, when he goes to the chuppah, chasan agav, basically you have white clothing. Again, there's no real source for white from what I recall when it comes to chasan and kala, but it's similar to this idea of purification. White always represents levon and represents white kapara. In any case, the custom is to bury a man with his talis that has tzitzis, but they disqualify one corner. Why? Because then it looks like he's claiming they kept 613, where most likely it's hard to claim that someone did all 613 mitzvahs. Nevertheless, the kitzur says better to just fold up one of the corners. And I think the Vilna Gaon, right? There's a famous Vilna Gaon before he was about to die. He was crying at how easy it is to do one mitzvah. And but when a person leaves this world, that's it. Even this cheap mitzvah, easy mitzvah like tzitzis, person is not going to be able to do anymore. So therefore, techaparein, as we say, to really grab as much as we can in this world. But the idea is, at any rate, by I saw that the Mamot Chaliyah, I think in El Tzisad, they don't use a talis, or they use something and then they pull it out. So that is the custom in El Tzisal. In general, whenever it comes to customs of Chavik Kaddish, you follow Chavik Kaddish's customs in the town that a person is. And also, if someone has a talis of their own, they should use that. They shouldn't use a different talis. Why? A person's more comfortable to use a talis that he uses throughout his life than to use a different talis. When they are clothing the person that is the deceased, so they should have intention that they are clothing the body, just like they're clothing the body, just so too the soul is going to be clothed with spiritual clothing, because really all this is physical. But there's spiritual clothing that a person gets adorned with when he comes upstairs in Shemayim when he leaves the world. The process of Tahara, as the Kitzur goes on to explain, is they will usually wash with warm clothing the entire body. They clean the entire body between the fingers and the feet, and every part of the body is cleaned, and also they scrub his head, and they comb and even cut the hair, and even cut nails and feet and legs. And the Kitzur points out that in his country in Hungary, they didn't do so. And they have to be careful not to turn the mace on his face, because that's considered degrading. Rather, they should just turn him to the side as they wash each side of the body. And they pour after they finish cleaning the body, and then they do what's called the tishakabi, which is about 15 liters of water. They pour it, and some actually stand up the mace. Some actually, I think there is a custom even to put them through a mikveh, especially today they have like some machines, so maybe that's even something that's more feasible to do. It was a very difficult thing to do in the old days. And so the Rambam is discussing whether that's a custom today. And they pour the water on the head, so it should go down to the entire body. Now this amount of water, tishakabim, it basically takes care, it's a form also of mikveh. The priest can discuss it. And Be'al Moshe is a very interesting discussion. How much, he says that he was once by the Satmar Rebbe, Zichron Levracha, and they had a discussion how long of a shower is considered tishkaven. Because if a person doesn't have a mikveh, this is definitely in place of a mikveh. So here they would pour 24 quarts, Polish quarts, the amount that the kids are discussing. And they don't have to be in one vessel specifically. It could even be in two or three vessels. But the three people, or whoever's handling the water, should make sure that as the first one is finishing, the first bucket is finishing to wash, the second bucket starts, and then after, as the second bucket is finishing, the third is. To do it with four different utensils, that doesn't work. Then they mix egg with wine, and they mix the egg with its peel, and this is all to hint to the idea that the world is what's called a galgal shechozabaydam. It's a world that turns a revolving wheel in the world. Basically, that death is inevitable in every part of the world, meaning there's no one that's going to be able to not be part of it. But also the Chazal said other allusions about the fact that the world is round. People can be rich one day and not be rich the next day. The point is that that's another remez, another hint that why do we use the this is why we use the egg. And they wash the person's head, and there's a custom, the kid says that each person used to spritz a little of the body with it. That he says is similar to the chukas akum, like to the laws of the non-Jews, if one should not do so. Similarly, one should be careful not to have the mace's hand, the fingers clenched together. But he says that the workplaces that they used to do so, and they did it because maybe it represented certain secret names of Hashem. He says it's false. And another thing that's false is the fact that they used to put these rods called geflich, some type of sticks, and they seem to represent the idea that when they're going to get up and have something like this to support them. He said that's also actually, he says, I mean, it's foolish. But if they want to do so, they should just place it on the side, inside the actual coffin. Chasam Soiker does discuss these customs and says if there's a real minute to do so, then one should continue doing so.